The beginning. In the beginning. Where's that? We're in Genesis. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. So good to see everybody. Getting ready for Christmas. Only one more Sunday and Christmas Eve service. Amazing. Time is flying as we're having fun. Are you having fun this Christmas time? All right. Let's first open in prayer. Father, we thank you. Father, we come before you. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing right now in our hearts as we seek you, as we just prayed. Lord, we need you. Oh, we need you. Every hour we need you, Lord. We pray, God, that you would teach us, speak to us through your word. We thank you that you've given us this amazing book. And it's inspired, all inspired by you, as you say in 2 Timothy. And it's given to us for a purpose, for a reason. Lord, you've created us for a purpose. Lord, I pray right now that you would open our hearts and our minds. Remove the distractions, all the junk, all the stuff that happens at every moment, trying to get us away from seeking you and worshiping you. We pray right now, Lord. Give us that focus in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Let's try that again. Amen. There we go. Preach it. Okay. Here we go. We are continuing what God has said here as He has created the best, the perfect creation. And wouldn't you love to live a perfect plan for your life that God has set before you? Wouldn't you love that? If there's a perfect plan, is there a way that we can live in that? That God has given us. Because if He's created us, you think He might have an idea of what He has for us, a plan? Maybe there's a plan? I think there is. In fact, that there is. And we're going to see that here. Because God has a perfect plan for you. So as we finished the second day last time, we got through first and the second day of Genesis 1 of the creation. The first 2 days. And yet science, we talked about it, has attempted to find a way to explain how. There's got to be a way how this all happened. They have not yet discovered that. Because obviously it's here. Yet, you know, the thing is, scientists will not ask the question, what? Why? They won't ask that. In fact, science attempts to avoid that question. There's a great cosmologist. Cosmology is the study of how things began. By the name of, you've heard of him, Stephen Hawking. Stephen Hawking recently died. And he said that, this is what he said. He said, philosophy is dead. Philosophy is that question of why? Right? What's the meaning of life? Is there a meaning to your life? Or are you just an evolutionary bacteria out there on this big dirt clod? You see, that's what science has purported to propose to us for now, probably the last 50 to 100 years. And it's that, you know, you're just an accident without true purpose. And that can be a little discouraging if you heard that, especially if you're a child and hearing that in school. I don't know. I never heard that in school when I was little, but I can imagine how that could be difficult. But the science today is, don't ask that question. Just believe there is no God in the formula. That's what science is teaching. One day a group of scientists, here's a story. Ready? One day a group of scientists got together, decided that man had come a long way and no longer needed God. So they picked one scientist to go and tell God that they were done with him. The scientist walked up to God and said, God, we've decided that we no longer need you. We're to the point that we can clone people and do many miraculous things, so why don't you just go on and get lost? God listened very patiently and kindly to the man, and after the scientist was done talking, God said, very well, how about this? Let's say we have a man-making contest. To which the scientist replied, okay, great. God added, now we're going to do this just like I did back in the old days with Adam. The scientist said, sure, no problem, and bent down and grabbed himself a handful of dirt. God just looked at him and said, no, no, no. You go get your own dirt. That gives me chills. Don't ask the question. So here we are. You are a special, miraculous work of God. All right? I want you to know that and believe that. You are special and unique. You have a special uniqueness about you that God's created you for a special purpose. And you can be part of that plan. So if God created you for a purpose, can you really fulfill that purpose? Can you really be part of that? Verse 9, let's start here. Let's go back now and let's look at the next day. Verse 9. Then God said, Then God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. Water is what scientists call the cradle of life. It's where life, they believe, began. And it's interesting. That's what God created on this third day. And science supports that. In fact, NASA says this. They're looking for life in other planets, and their motto, NASA's motto is, in the hunt for extraterrestrial life, has been, follow the water. Interesting, isn't it? So verse 10 it says there, and God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas, and God saw that it was good. Then, verse 11, then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth, and it was so. So here, grass and herbs, vegetation is created. And it's created for a purpose. Everything has its purpose. It's all interrelated. And notice this important statement. According to its kind. Do you see that? And you're going to see that over and over and over. And do you think there's a reason for that? Yes. It's repetitious. There's a purpose for that. It says there in verse 12, it says, and the earth brought forth grass, the herb, that yields seed according to what? Its kind, and the tree that yields its fruit, whose seed is in itself, a what? According to its kind, and God saw that it was good. It was the best. It's perfect. And please, this is so important that we have this. God wants this so clearly understood. There is no transitional forms between species. There's no evolutionary transitional form. You don't have grassy herbs or herby grass or whatever. It's distinct in its category, and there's no mutation of plants to get another type of species. It's interesting that this is from Wikipedia, there are about 391,000 species of vascular plants currently known to science, reported by the Botanic Gardens, Kew, in the United Kingdom. And they discover 2,000 new plants every year. Separate, distinct, according to its kind. And you notice what's interesting to me is they are created in their mature state. Do you see that? You have the grass, the herbs, and then you have their seeds. It's like what comes first, the chicken or the egg? It looks like the chicken. God created in its mature state. And He can create things. God can do anything. There's nothing too difficult for God. There's nothing impossible for God, and He can create it in a mature state. And this is important for us to understand. As God created man, can He create man in a mature state? Of course. That's what He did. We'll see that. The word man is, we're going to see later, Adam. That's the word for man. Where we get another word, Adam. And another thought, just Put it in the back of your mind. We'll look at it later. But can God create a mature earth? What I mean by that is where you've got mountains and things and it looks like there's things are aged. Can God do that? There's nothing impossible for God. Third verse 13. Here it is. So it was evening and the morning were the third day. This was the end of the third day. Then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for the days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens. Remember the firmaments, the sky and space, to give light on the earth. And it was so. When I just want to stop for a moment and tell you something. When God says it in His Word, when God says it, it's the law. Just keep that in mind. Anything God says, it's the law. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. So what's the greater star? The sun. Lesser star, the moon. And God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. Perfect. You know, notice something here. In this progression of God's creation, God's God of order. And of course, He's got a perfect plan, has it all worked out. He created vegetation before the sun. All right? God is, but we saw before, in the first day, God created light. God was light. God was still supporting the earth in His own illumination. We know that when we get to the new heaven and new earth, Jesus will be illuminating. We will not need a sun in the new heaven. And this is what was going on there. God was still providing. Photosynthesis. Photosynthesis is where the plants and animals, all the plants take light and water and synthesize it into sugar, into food, to fruit. So God provided this supernatural light. And until the fourth day, here it is. It gives us a purpose. What's the purpose for the sun and the moon? For the seasons, the calendars, days. We can, you know, now we can keep track. 360 days of the year, 365. But then starts verse 16. Look at verse 16. It says, I'm sorry. Verse 19. I want you to look at verse 19. So the evening and morning were the fourth day. Then God said this. Verse 20. Let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of heavens. I want you to notice and circle the word living creatures. The word living creatures literally means, the Hebrew word is nephesh, and it literally means living creatures. It's having life. Vegetation don't have life like living creatures. A nephesh, spirit, a breath. It's distinct. And understand this about these living creatures. And we're talking here about the living birds and the sea creatures that we're talking about here. In the waters and in the air. Birds and all the sea creatures and going on here. Things that have nephesh, that are living, have, I'm just going to say it, they have a personality. They have a soul. They have a type of identity. They can identify with one another. I had my first pet was a parakeet. And I could relate to it. And I called it Ishmael. We're talking at my uncle's funeral last night, and we're cousins. You know how we all talk about our grandparents? Remember our grandparents had parakeets they kept above the oven, above the stove? And then they came back. Oh, little bluebird died because somebody left the gas on in the parakeet. Anyway, I don't know why it came up to my mind. But it's sad. Now there's a personality. You identified with that little bird, right? We had a little Molly, our Labrador Retriever, that was such the best dog. We had to put her down a couple years ago. You know, I could just cry. I could cry over this animal that I loved, that had a soul. And it could come up to Debbie before Debbie was diagnosed with cancer and smelled her, kept smelling her and smelling her, and she knew Debbie had this blood cancer. Somehow she knew. It's amazing. So this is what God created, this nephesh. And that these animals and these birds and these fish come in schools of fish. Birds have flocks, right? Dogs have packs. They can react. You can't talk to this alive tree or a plant or a flower and just, you can give it a name, but trust me, you can't call it. Come on, boy. Come on. Come on, flower. Doesn't happen. But see, here's the other important factor about this. Animals, your dog, does not have an eternal spirit. That's the difference. All right? They do not have an eternal spirit. But it enables them to have this consciousness. The fact that you can even look at me and have conscience and think and have a mind of reason, they don't have. That's your eternal spirit. That is your eternal consciousness that will live forever. You have that. Animals are trained to live by instinct without a spirit. They're not created to have the capacity, listen to this, as God created us, to worship God. Only you have that. That's part of your purpose. They do have a purpose, though. I do not know what the purpose of a mosquito is. Figure that one out. Why do we have mosquitoes? So verse 21, it says, so God created the sea creatures and every living thing that moves with which the waters abounded according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. Specific, distinct. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth. God blesses them. Go on with all its that's purpose. Now, the sixth day, look at verse 24. On the sixth day, then God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature according to what? Its kind, cattle and creeping thing, and the beasts of the earth, each according to its kind. And so it was. And God made the beasts of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth, all the creepy things on the earth, according to its kind, and God saw that it was good. See, animals, too, understand, behaved differently back then. When God created them in the original purpose and plan before the fall, it's interesting that there was no pain, no death. So if there wasn't any death, what happened? Look at verse, I want you to notice something. Just very interesting is verse 30, really quickly. Glance down to verse 30 and says this, also to every beast of the earth, to every breed bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth in which there is life, I have given. Look at what it says. What does it say? Every green herb for food, and it was so. All these animals were carnivores. Excuse me. Were not carnivores. Eating nothing but herbs, herbivores. Right? Interesting, just a thought. We're going to talk about it later. But now, here we go. Look at verse 26. This is what I'm excited about getting to. Fine, yay. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish, over the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Our image. God said, let us make them. Us. It's a compound unity. Speaking of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Right? Interesting how it's right there in the first chapter of Genesis. And you know, it's interesting because we are created as a tripartite creature. creature. Do you know what that is? We have a body. We have a soul, like animals. Identity, personality. But we have a what? Spirit. Body, soul, spirit. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Okay? See that? Interesting. God's perfect way. And we're fashioned. He made it. He fashioned you in the image, the likeness of God. That makes you super special. I don't know how you feel right now, but if you're not feeling special, please listen to this. You are super special. You're made in the likeness of God. Anyone says you're an accident, I don't care who it is. And anybody teaches in schools that children are just accidents, evolutionary accidents, is blasphemy. It's blasphemous to God and to His Spirit. To say you're not different than any other creation is blasphemy. You have a conscience. You have the ability to think and reason. Animals don't. You have a reason and ability to choose. Free moral agency. I can choose right or I can choose wrong. God has a right. There is a moral right. We have the ultimate choice in our life. God created us to make that choice. He didn't make you a puppet. He could have made a bunch of puppets. I'm just going to create all these people and they're just going to worship me. Come on, bow down, just worship. No choice. Just there's no love there. That is no love. God loves you so much, He gave you the ability with your identity and your consciousness and your spirit to choose Him or not choose Him. I talked to scientists that specialize in they're neuroscientists dealing with the mind and the whole essence of how the mind is and the spinal column, and I asked them, I said, where does consciousness come from? And I love that. If you ever run into a neuroscientist, ask them that question. It totally, you'll see this look on their face, and they get very, very sad. Because they have to be honest. They say, we have no idea where our consciousness comes from. No idea. It is the what they call the ultimate enigma. Cannot figure this one out. But we have animals, we know animals, and they are going by instinct. I mean, my dog, as sweet as she was, when I dropped that chicken leg on the floor, she went after that thing and almost took my arm off. I mean, not to hurt me, but she just, that's instinct. Going after it. When a dog or an animal feels like doing something, they're going to do it by instinct. That's what happens when people start, you read, how can someone go and kill all those people in that restaurant? They become no longer living like a human being. They're running off of instinct. And it's a spiritual thing, and it's ugly. And there's no guilt there when the animals do what they have to do by instinct. There's no excuse for people, though. That's the difference. We're always responsible for our behavior. And see, animals are doing weird things today. We just read about a woman got mauled by a bear. She got taken out of her house. It's very strange things going on. I just think... pertaining to what's going on in times. But see, God implanted in you the ability to choose. To choose life or death. A purpose, His purpose, and His way, or not His way. That's really the question here, right? So we want to obey His word. Obey it. Or we're just creatures of instinct. Look at the 26th day. Look at verse 26. The sixth day it says, then God said, I'm sorry, I just read that. So God created him in his own image. He created him male and female. He created them. Do you notice that? It's God created man, both male and female. We're all together. There's no difference. There's no distinctions. Why do people get so crazy about this? We're all equal. We need to treat one another equal. We all have different purposes. God has a different purpose for male and a different purpose for female. And we need to make sure that's clear and distinct. That's what God said. And then He says, fulfill. He says, what's your purpose? Man's purpose is again to fulfill and fill the earth. Go. So then he says to multiply. Just go ahead, fill the earth. Do what you're created to do. And then it says, subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth. Our perfect plan was to really rule the earth. Do you see that? Dominion means to be dominant over the animals. Be able to, they would be subjugated to them. They would be able to tell a fish, fish, get in the boat. If you go fishing, fish jumps in the boat. Pretty cool. Doesn't happen today. Fish, come on, get on my hook. No, we have to trick them. That's how evil they are. But see, this is really what I want you to understand. Man's purpose. You're created to worship God. How are you doing? That's every moment of the day. Isaiah 43:7 says, everyone who is called by name, whom I've created for my glory, I have formed him. Yes, I have made him. Do you want to plan to live that best, blissful life God has for you? Let's go back to fulfill what He's created us as. Accept His love and His grace. That's the original plan through Jesus Christ. Being obedient. Because later sin is going to enter the earth. Adam and Eve have a choice. Wrong choice was made, and here we are. Then it says, verse 29, I have given you, as He's blessed them, as we are told to be obedient, we'll be blessed beyond our imagination. And God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruits yield seed, to you it shall be for food. 100% vegetation. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to every thing that creeps on the earth, in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food. And it was so. Then God saw everything that He had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. That's the end of the sixth day. That is the end of creation. But it's not done until the seventh day. Why? Seven is the name, the number of completion and perfection. It's also the time that God gave the children of Israel the Sabbath to remember that, but we're going to get into that later. But I do want to mention one thing about the vegetarian thing. You don't have to go back and quit eating meat. Because we find out after Noah that God gave food. After the flood, meat was given. But the point is here, God has a plan for you today. Today. To fulfill it. That He gave to you before the foundations of the earth. He knew you. He knew about you. He knew you so much intimately. He loved you and loves you. As for eternity. Do you get this? In fact, you're so blessed if we just fulfill that even today. I want you to turn over to Ephesians for a moment. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. Just follow with me on this. Ephesians 2, verse 1, it says, and you He made alive, your new creation, born again if you accepted Christ, who were dead in trespasses and sin, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, which happens, of course, after the fall, when Adam and Eve sin and disobeyed God and obey Satan, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others, becoming like animals. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourself. It is the gift of God. Your life will never be blessed until you fulfill and completely go to that specific plan He has for your life right now. To walk in it today. Look at verse 10. Excuse me, verse 9. Not of the works, lest anyone should boast, we're saved, but look at verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God, what? Prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. He knew you before He created us. Before Genesis 1, He knew you. Are you walking in it? See, I learned this late in life. I tried to figure it out myself. I had to do this funeral for my uncle. I didn't have to. I was privileged. It was wonderful. But his favorite song, I think it was his aunt's, my aunt, his wife's favorite song. The last song they sang, Frank Sinatra, I Did It My Way. It's not about our way. If we get that, it took me a long time to get that. Really? If I just go, God, yeah, wow, God. And it's still a battle. I'm still fighting the flesh in my way. But God is so good, because if I can just keep remembering every day, God, I'm going to worship You and trust You and give up and surrender. And then it's so good. Peace. Joy. Be obedient. You have the ability by your choice of reason, by your consciousness, to follow Him. How do you do that? Here's the how. Now flip back and we'll close with this. Matthew 7. You don't have to flip back. Just note this. You can listen. Matthew 7. It says, ask. You need to know how? What it is? What's your plan? Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. Do you hear me? This is a promise. This, God said it. It's from Jesus. It's the law. If it's a law, it's the law. Don't fight it. For everyone who asks receives, and who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Those are bad fathers. We don't have a bad father. Or who we ask for a fish, will give him a serpent. That's cruel. No, God loves you so much. He doesn't. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask Him? Close with Revelation 4:11. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they exist and were created. Let's pray. Father, we come before You now and we just seek You. There are those out here that are in dire need and desperate to know Your will. So frustrated in trying to do it their way. God, I pray, Father, right now for those hearts, that they will surrender and seek You. If anybody needs just a real encouragement of prayer, just lift up your hand right now. Say, I need this. Yes, 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 yes. Father, we pray right now for those hearts that are so looking for that perfect plan to walk in. Lord, we're asking. We're expecting because of Your promise. It's Your law. And we pray, God, You build their faith right now that they will receive that. That they can walk in it. and being obedient, Lord. And Lord, help us to stop trying to do it our way and fighting You. Lord, help us to stay in Your Word. Thank You for the hearts that want to continue growing in You and growing in Your Word. So we know how to be obedient and to trust You and do what You want. I pray for those hearts that are struggling right now, that You encourage them right now, that You're going to take care of them, that they're going to cast their cares upon You because You care for them. Lord, we thank You. We love You. We thank You that You created us, that we are a creation, that we're so super special. Lord, help us not to believe the lies of the enemy that we're not special. I pray for those right now that they're not listening to that voice, but listening to You right now. We praise You and thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, please. And if anyone needs prayer, I'd like you to come up. I'd love to pray with you.